See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening of a Friday night.
Good morning, 8:37 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Sam Abel is the city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze, and she joins us by phone normally at 8:08 after we have a city council meeting, but I had to move Matt Gates into that time slot, and so she graciously allowed herself to be moved into this time slot. Sam, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good morning. So last night you guys did some formalities type stuff with the mayor and the mayor pro tem. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. We had a great agenda last night. Our mayor was sworn back in, and also two of our councilmen. We've got staggered terms in Gulf Breeze. So all three positions, there was, you know, no one who ran against them. And we think that's a great sign from our citizens that our mayor and council are doing a sound job.
Very good. We also had one of the sort of larger things that you guys did last night was you put in, or you were at least going to consider, the covenant for the community, which I assume passed. Is that right?
Yes, it did. It passed unanimously. And so we join our sister city, Pensacola, and making that the council's first policy action of 2021. It will be effective come January. There are three capital projects which have taken more than a year to plan, and those will be rebid. So part of that resolution last night was to reject those three bids, re-advertise them along with all new projects. And Andrew, of course, the you know, the aspirational goal of the Covenant for the Community policy is to make sure that at least 70% of contractors and jobs are local. And so this is something that Quint Suter started in 2016. 2018, Escambia County approved this policy. Mayor Grover Robinson has made this his first mayoral action of January 2021. And I will say the three mayors, Mayor Grover Robinson, Cherry Fitch, and Heather Lindsay of Milton, have been meeting together since they first took office, and talking about regional issues like this is just another example of those efforts.
You know, one of the questions I had asked Mayor Robinson about this last Monday, and he did not give me what I thought was a particularly good answer. And so I wanted to ask you, since you guys have also already passed this, my take on the Covenant of the Community is great. I have no objection to it. I love the idea. I just, as a taxpayer, want to know how much it's going to cost, because if you are taking local bids, the only reason you would not take a local bid normally is because you get a lower bid from somebody out of town. So if we're going to require local bids to be preferenced, there's going to be a cost to that. And you mentioned that in some of your information that you've put out. So what is the general cost increase to having to bid locally as opposed to out of, is there any kind of parameter for that normally?
Well, here's how it translates in Gulf Breeze, and okay. I think this is an excellent question. So before you bid a project, you have a preliminary cost estimate. Obviously, with fluctuations in labor and material costs, especially right now during COVID and the bridge closure, we renew those preliminary cost estimates prior to the bid. So council never go in blind. They know approximately what it's going to cost.
Okay.
When those bids come back with a point criteria where you're awarding points based on how local the jobs are, maybe there's, you know, you have three bidders, two of those bidders provide 70% of jobs locally, but perhaps, you know, one has more subcontractors that are local. Maybe there's one that has more, you know, jobs actually located inside the city, not just Santa Rosa and Escambia. That point system allows you to kind of spread the range 1 to 5 as you're ranking the bids. When that goes to council, the lowest bid may not have the most number of local jobs. And the council would look to see, well, which bid is still within the margin of that preliminary cost estimate. So it may not be the lowest bid project. It may be the second or third lowest bid. But if it's still within a reasonable margin of that preliminary cost estimate, then what that means is the council have already established a funding plan for that project. There is no project that has ever bid where the council have not already identified the funding plan. So it may not be the lowest bid project, but it is still within budget, and the public can have that reassurance.
But there's still at least the potential, as I hear you describing it, that the bid would have been higher or would have been lower if they'd taken, you know, or preferenced up the out of town. And I guess I'm just kind of curious, like, what's a typical range there? I mean, 3%, 5%, 1%. Like, I just have no idea. You know, go ahead.
Yeah. And so I know that, you know, you would want a number, but obviously I wouldn't want to say 5 or 10% because 5 or 10% can translate into a lot of dollars.
Sure.
If it's a $100,000 project versus a $5 million project.
Right.
But let's just look at the Pensacola Beach sign, Andrew, because I know that that's something that you've brought up here recently.
Let's not look at it, but go ahead.
I'm going to put that right back on your side of the desk there. So there's a perfect example of a project which was bid, and it went to the lowest bidder.
Right.
Did that put any dollars back in the economy?
Well, no, it went to Orlando.
Exactly. And so that's the example here. Lowest does not always mean lowest and best. And what this allows us to do is on the front end, give notice to our contractors that say, here's our aspirational goal. Not a requirement, but do know you're not going to be ranked as high if you're not making sure that these local dollars stay back and the local economy at least by a 70% threshold.
Okay, I understand that, and you know, I also understand that low bids aren't always better bids, higher bids aren't always, you know, all of it I understand. I was just more curious, like, kind of what the range was, and I was kind of befuddled by Grover's answer where he seemed to indicate that it wasn't any cost. And I thought, well, that cannot be. There has to be some cost associated with it as well.
Well, yeah, rather than look at it by range, I think what you have to look at is the budget for that item that the commission or the council have identified prior to it being bid.
Right.
Does it stay within that budget?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So let's say our multi-use pathway, you know, we estimate that the base bid is going to be around $3 million. And so if we bid that project out, let's say that the lowest bid, you know, comes in at 2.5, the second lowest bid comes in at 2.7. Both are within budget, but perhaps one would bring more money back into the local economy. And that is during this time of, you know, just recession-like conditions,
right.
I think the assurance that our public wants.
Well, and also you have the indirect benefit of, you know, that generates tax revenue. I mean, all of that, that makes sense to me. Hey, I wanted to give you a chance just to remind people, coming up this Saturday, we're going to have a reverse Christmas parade.
Yes, a reverse parade. This is a very novel idea from our Parks and Recreation Department. Ron Foley, Kathy Wortham, our folks do a great job. Our Greater Gulf Reach Chamber of Commerce had to make the very difficult decision to cancel the parade this year, but so many of our floats had already been decorated, and so Ron Foley and his team said, well, what about a reverse parade? Let's have our floats park on Community Center Drive, and those who visit can drive the processional, and we'll have people there to hand out candy. We have a big drive for Toys for Tot. Bring an unwrapped present, and elves will come right up to your car, take that toy from you or your child, and you'll see them put that right in Santa's sleigh. So please bring an unwrapped toy for Toys for Tot, but also enjoy our beautiful Christmas lights. Our Christmas lights and Christmas music along Community Center Drive are actually the work of one of our volunteer firefighters, Dell Sherburn. He's doing a beautiful job. So we're inviting everyone to come out and enjoy, especially this Saturday, 5 to 8 p.m. for our reverse parade.
I love it. I love it. We're talking to Sam Abel, City Manager for the City of Gulf Breeze. By the way, Sam, you'll appreciate this. We also got a text in talking about low bids and said, somebody said, hey, wasn't Skanska the low bidder?
No.
So you talk about Highway 98 and Gulf Breeze is currently bookended by vivid examples of the perils of lowest bid contracts. I agree with that. You know, Sam, I realized something yesterday that just kind of dawned on me. I don't know. I was thinking about the bridge, and I was thinking about this youth council that you guys in Milton and Pensacola are thinking about putting together. And the thing that dawned on me was with the bridge, we're about halfway from Sally to the projected, promised, anticipated reopening of the bridge. Now, if it does happen in March, that means that we're about halfway there. Is there any feeling at all like, oh, we're finally getting towards where we can start to see that? Or is it still like God only knows and everybody's still suffering?
I'm going to go with the latter. And
okay.
And here's why. And, you know, when you ask me these tough questions, Andrew, it just always goes against my nature as an idealist. But I have to share, the challenge here is as it relates to our largest job creators, such as FDOT. When you hear them talk about the hit to the gas tax and the fact that they're going to be facing a major budget shortfall, which means that they're going to be letting less projects in this upcoming year,
mm-hmm.
The problem is that with the bridge reopening, it is going to mean greater convenience for our local residents. But I think that the recession created by COVID-19 and then, unfortunately, the bridge duration, it's the challenge that we have and the reason why our local businesses need the support of the SBA and from the state is because it wasn't just one thing. And so that coupled, you know, with economic policies coming down on a federal level, I think that, you know, we're all very concerned about those things. And so you're going to see continued conversations about, you know, making sure that those local dollars are stretched,
mm-hmm.
probably delaying, you know, quality of life projects that maybe could wait. So we're ready for the bridge to reopen. Obviously, that's going to reduce, you know, trip time back and forth from work. But as it relates to economic vitality, we do expect that it is going to be certainly over 2021, that it's going to take longer to recover from that.
Okay, yeah, and I mean, I have the same thing. I mean, we're all kind of thinking about the disease itself and about COVID surging numbers, but I think we're seeing that same thing, especially locally. As you say, the accumulation of factors with whether it is tax money being raised, not being raised, whether it is impact from the bridge, that these economic factors are sort of building now also, and even though relief is coming, like the vaccine is coming, I'm not sure that relief is coming nearly soon enough. So thanks for that honest assessment. I appreciate it. Sam Abel, City Manager for the City of Gulf Breeze. Sam, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.